nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, with that, we'll call the meeting.
Okay. Director Garfinkel.
Yes.
Director Gibson.
Here.
Vice Chair Zimmer.
Here.
Chairperson O'Hilsen.
Present.
Okay, so with that, then we'll go to item number four on the agenda, which is board member comments. We'll start at my right.
I have no comments at this time, right now. Nothing to add.
Neither do I.
Just to let you know, because the newspapers have been very slow to pick it up, we are doing a ribbon cutting grand opening of the wastewater recycling facility on Friday, 11 o'clock, out at the plant. There should be something in the newspaper tomorrow, but they were singularly unresponsive to the press release that they received many days ago, and we're bugging them about that. So hope you can make it open to the public.
At 11 o'clock, out at... Okay. Yeah. All right, thank you. And I have no comments at this point. So let's go to the consent agenda. We have the approval of the minutes from the March 16th meeting and approval of the budget update and invoice register through March 2016. Does anybody want to pull either of those two items? Nope. Okay. Nope. Okay. Do you have any report, or are we going to go to public comment?
Public on this, and I'll move approval.
Just briefly, the invoice register is a first time for you to see this, so if you have any comments on the format, that's fine. It should be. We want to keep it very simple, so we've done that.
Okay.
Good.
Yeah, here.
Okay.
I think that's pretty public. Yeah, you do it.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll have public comment on the consent agenda items only. Okay, seeing none, we'll close public comment on the consent agenda items.
We'll move their approval.
Okay, we have a motion to approve. Is there a second? Okay, we have a motion and a second. Can we have a roll call, please?
Yes, you can. The motion maker, Director
yes.
Gibson?
Yes.
Seconded by Garfinkel. Director Garfinkel?
Yes.
Vice Chair Zimmer?
Yes.
Chair O'Hilsen?
Yes. I can see you're not used to this. I had trouble with the flag. You have trouble with that. But now
I'll get there.
Now we're on a roll.
All right, we're on a roll now. Okay, so then we'll move to item number six, which is the executive director's report. Rob.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A brief report this month because the main event is conservation, which is one of your regularly scheduled agenda items. Did want to note that we included as a follow-up the scope of work and proposed fees for the initial tasks contemplated for the financial consultant that the county has retained through the flood control district, and that is attached as attachment one. And as you can see, there are a number of tasks there that range from looking at the administrative cost elements of the Basin Management Committee to the funding of actual projects that are contemplated in the basin plan. So it's an information item since that contract's already been approved and they're looking to schedule a kickoff meeting here shortly, and we'll get that going and bring regular updates as the work proceeds. Did want to note that we did file the April 1st annual update to the Department of Water Resources. Of course, we didn't have the text of our full annual report. We explained that to the state. But we did want to be responsive to their deadline, and we did file by that deadline. And then a brief follow-up on potential creek discharge. We did have a meeting with the owner of the property that was affected by those wells that were within the two-year travel time of the proposed creek discharge. It was a good, cordial meeting and provided the property owner with a copy of the report, which... they're reviewing, and they're going to be getting back to us, and we'll bring that back for further consideration. And that's all I have for my executive director's report.
Before we go to public comment, any questions?
So I have a comment. The zone of benefit analysis, when we look at the estimated timeline for completing this, did we get a timeline outlined? And Will we get an update after each task is completed, or an update just periodically throughout the process? And then this budget includes all the tasks or the phases. Is that correct? Or is it just the first phase?
This is primarily the first steps. It's the feasibility level analysis that would take you to a decision point as to how it might be structured, both for the administrative costs and then hopefully some vision setting on the full basin plan costs. I plan to give an update every month as the work progresses. This initial scope, I don't have a schedule in front of me. I think it's around 60 days worth of work, 2 to 3 months, but I don't have that right in front of me. The county staff may have some feedback there. I don't see Carolyn or Ray in the audience. We'll give you a monthly update, but this is just the first step, and there'll be other actions that the Flood Control District will need to take. And if there's any areas where the BMC needs specific input, we'll bring that as an agendized item for consideration.
I think if Carolyn could answer, if she has anything to add to as far as schedule, that would be helpful.
I didn't see her. Yeah, she's not
you
here.
You said she was here.
I said I didn't see her here.
Okay. So, yeah. Okay, so do you have... Yeah. And are you done, Mark?
Yeah.
Okay. It's my understanding that after last month's meeting, the legal counsels for the four groups had a conference call to discuss the JPA, and I haven't heard anything about the results of that conference call. Is there one?
We didn't get substantive input back to the extent that we could bring it back to the committee, so we weren't ready to go through that here today, but we will be bringing that back. I don't know if any of the respective staffs wanted to make basic comments. They started the discussion, but they're still getting a closure on that, so we're
okay. I can add in just that.
You need to go to the microphone so you can.
Speak up as well if you think I'm misstating anything. But I think that the idea was that we had started the conversation last month, I believe it was, and we were going to continue that conversation. But we didn't want to be duplicating any work that was already going to be done. So I think some of that analysis is going to be undertaken in the zone of benefit analysis, and we can kind of work forward. So we're not putting it off, and we won't get off track. It's just going to be more of an iterative process to figure out the right answers.
Okay. Great.
That's fine, yes. Thank you.
Thank you. I did have one question. Did you have a question? Okay. On the WSC grant proposal and the scope that's in here?
Right, that's actually on our agenda as a separate item on 7A.
I'll bring that up then. Any other questions? Okay, seeing none, we'll go to public comment then on the Executive Director's report. Okay, seeing none, we'll close public comment. Can we get a motion to receive and file then? Moved by Director Gibson.
I'll second that.
Seconded by Director Garfinkel.
Roll call. Director Gibson.
Yes.
Director Garfinkel.
Yes.
Vice Chair Zimmer.
Yes.
Chairperson Ohilski.
Yes. Okay. We're moving along quick. All right, that brings us up then to the action items, which is the first one, which is the one that I was asking a question about, to approve the scope and fee for grant services from WSC.
Right. So brief staff note on that. We did set aside a budget for this calendar year of $12,000 for grant assistance, and we reviewed three proposals from very qualified consultants. It was a tough selection, and any of the three I think could be useful to us as a committee. But we did select WSC for the first focus task of initial grant screening and just to establish a priority of what we might pursue. And they produced a detailed scope of work and a proposed fee, which we rounded from their proposed fee of $3,700 and in rough numbers, to 4,000 to provide that initial work product. So staff's recommendation is that you authorize us to enter into a contract and take those first steps. Be happy to answer any questions.
Well, now I have one. I'll go first since I had the question. In the scope here and the work program, there's really no schedule here, so I was just wondering, can we get that added or at least get updated on the schedule as this moves along? Because obviously we want to get this done as an efficient as time frame as possible.
Yeah. So. These are all, for the amount of work effort, $3,000, that will go with very few person right. hours associated with that. So that's very short term. Well, we would expect to bring back probably at your June meeting an update.
If you could bring us just next meeting in May, just give us an update on the schedule, I would appreciate it.
You got it.
Any other questions? Okay, seeing none, then we'll go to public comment on this item, which is the signing of the contract and for the scope and the fee for grant services by WSC. Okay, seeing none, we'll bring it back. So then can we go ahead and have a motion to approve the proposed scope and fee for grant services to be provided by WSC in an amount not to exceed $4,000?
I'll make that motion.
I would just like to, with the understanding that we'd have a schedule come back to us next month.
Understood.
Okay.
I'll second that
motion. All right, we have a motion and a second. So,
Director Garfinkel?
Yes.
Vice Chair Zimmer?
Yes.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Chairman Ohilski?
Yes. So, moving right along, that will bring us up to the item that I think everybody's here for.
That's really why we're here.
Which is 7B, to consider draft water conservation program. And the recommendation from staff is that the committee review the draft matrix, provide input, and direct staff to bring the item back to our May meeting for action, if possible. So, Rob, would you like to go ahead and give us the overview on this?
I would, and thank you for your patience, as this presentation will take some time. So I'll take a drink of water. So today we're going to be talking about a proposed structure for a water conservation plan that would be adopted by and pursued by the Basin Management Committee as a whole. And I have a number of slides that give you some background in water management issues here. And this is, I think, some very interesting initial information. I thought, let's do a PowerPoint and make sure everyone's on the same page. So you all have seen this slide before, at least most of it, and it does show that over the last 25 years, our production as a purveyor group has dropped from a high of 2,500 acre-feet per year down to the surprising low last year of 1,000 acre-feet. That's a 60% drop with a static population. We did have an opportunity through Golden State and LOCSD to look at non-residential water demands, and if we subtract those out without going through a lot of complicated adjustments for lost non-revenue water and so forth, you can pretty quickly see that within the purveyor zones that our total water use per capita in 2015 was in the range of 55 to 60 gallons per capita per day. That's total, including indoor and outdoor. The fraction that is represented by commercial on that is between 10 and 15%. So, pretty impressive. However, as you'll hear from later in the presentation, there is still more that can be done to enhance water conservation. I thought this was an interesting chart just because it was so uninteresting. Normally, when you look at a month-to-month plot, thank you for that, by the way, a month-to-month plot of water production, you see somewhat of a bell curve with a peak in the summer and a low in the winter. I don't know what to make of this chart, other than it's apparent that there is some outdoor use occurring. though it's really difficult to find that irrigation signature in the chart. So clearly, people have restricted their outdoor use, which is why we've gotten down below 60 gallons per capita per day. I would note that we had sort of a warm period at the beginning of the year in 2015, not dissimilar to some of the weather we had this year, where we had a hot January, and we did have some uptick in water production early in the year, and then it really came down towards the latter half of the year as people became perhaps more and more aware of the drought and dropped their production to where we were down in the 70 acre foot per month range. So it'll be very interesting to see how the community responds in 2016, and we'll bring regular updates on that front. There are a number of existing programs that I think it's important if community members are listening, and I'm sure that this PowerPoint's already uploaded or can be uploaded to the website so people can be aware. Of course, the Wastewater Project has an existing indoor fixture retrofit program primarily focused on toilets, showers, and washing machines. And Golden State Water Company, and I think this is important, for areas that are outside of the prohibition zone, Golden State has a fairly robust rebate program where you can get $125 for toilets. There's a washer program, even a smart irrigation controller and sprinkler nozzles. So there are existing rebates that would be available today for folks that are outside the prohibition zone and served by Golden State that perhaps, you know, it's always hard to get people aware of those things and acting upon them, but it's a significant program, and there's a link there. Statewide turf rebate program at saveourwaterrebates.com. I don't know, I'm sure some of you in the audience perhaps have availed yourself of that program. It's a very generous $2 per square foot turf rebate. I've personally benefited from it. It can be used even for lawns that have been not irrigated for a year or more, dead lawns, and they basically require you to plant a single tree at least and some drought-tolerant plant material along with mulch and other approved materials. But at $2 a square foot, it's a very attractive program, and I don't know if it's widely known. Even though we have advertised it, we still see lawns in the area with folks, I'm sure, who would be interested. Just a quick statistical update on the Wastewater Project program as to the number of fixtures that have been replaced, about 3,000 toilets. That number is important because it does show that there are probably quite a few toilets out there that are 1.6 gallons per flush, which was a was a 92 toilet, and those were allowed to remain in place. Shower heads that were 2 gallons per minute or less can also remain in place. So thousands of fixtures have been replaced, and there are still probably a number of them that are getting to the older side of the spectrum but still allowable under the program. 100 washing machines may be more of a modest result than what was hoped, and that'll be talked about a little later. And then it connected with county planning to determine their estimate of how development offset credits, how much they think they've saved, and they estimated about 28 acre feet under Title 19. So goals for our meeting today. The big one, of course, is to review the draft conservation measures, which there's really nothing entirely new in those measures. It's things that we've been talking about, but staff has had a chance to think about rebate levels, to think about market penetration and put them into a format, as well as add some economics to them in terms of the cost per acre foot saved and the amount of water that could be saved. And I think you'll see that there's some interesting conclusions there. We want to work with the County of San Luis Obispo and the purveyors to confirm how we would fund some of these programs, both in the short term and in the longer term. And we'll have some discussion about that at the end. We have some concepts and some direction on that, but perhaps not a final conclusion on it. And then we'd like to get direction even today to initiate public information to let folks know that this is being talked about and considered, because we obviously have some short-term opportunities here that we want to take advantage of. I would like to walk through each of the different programs. They're basically labeled by the type of program, PR meaning public relations, for want of a better term. So the first program is an outreach for Cash for Grass. There is that existing program, very generous, and would cover a lot of the cost associated with replacing grass, it did in my case. And one opportunity there would be to actually canvas the community. The aerial imagery here is a little bit outdated, 2013 on Google Earth, and so maybe even a brief front yard survey. I don't think it would take long. Some door hangers to let folks know, hey, you can get $2 per square foot for this green lawn sitting in your front yard, not to mention your backyard. So to try to get a little more public awareness of this existing program while it's still up and operating, I think would be a good thing. Public relations, item number two, clean and close. This is a term of art that would speak to sanitizing your septic tank and closing it up, even temporarily, while you are deciding how you may want to repurpose it, as opposed to demolishing it. So we all know that lateral connections have actually begun and now are ongoing over the next year. And we are still hearing that many contractors, primarily we think due to lack of familiarity, perhaps risk, they're still recommending that tanks be demolished. And we're trying to change that message. The county's been trying to change that message, but it still persists. So we're suggesting that there can be some very immediate outreach, at least to let folks know that rebates are under consideration. We're actively pursuing funding. The rebates will be substantial, and that to provide for the flexibility of repurposing your tank, you need to strongly consider cleaning and closing at this point as opposed to demolishing the tank. We also have found that when you really get down to brass tacks, cleaning and closing is cost efficient relative to demolishing. Bill, you want to make a...
I'd like to just interject into this.
Help me with the yes. Absolutely.
Yes. Clean and close. It's not clean and close. It's clean, fill, and close, which means that you have to fill up your... Yes, it is.
fill with what? Fill with water is what you're talking about.
Yes.
You have to fill with water. So what you're essentially doing is putting, like in my instance where I have had a 12,000-gallon tank.
1,200-gallon, yes.
1,200-gallon tank. I had to fill it with water, which will just sit there for God knows how long. So it's when you talk about conservation, that may be slightly counterproductive to fill the tanks that were empty.
Yeah. Well, hang with us. We got more coming. So public relations item number three, or program number three, is to... perhaps do a campaign towards folks that are outside of the prohibition zone. If they're a Golden State customer, a reminder of the existing programs, the statewide turf and toilet rebate programs, which are available even to private well owners that are outside our area, and then the opportunity to remind them that seawater intrusion is occurring, substantial conservation measures are happening within the urban area, and to encourage them to be a part of that if they are not already. And then conservation audits. When you look at all the programs that we're discussing, they can be clear to us, but they become daunting to somebody who's unfamiliar. And so a mechanism to explain those, have a person that can actually be talked to walk somebody through the rebate process, to point out and bring in some of the other available rebates, such as PG&E and Gas Company for many of these items, I think would be a good assistance to the community as they try to navigate the rebate process. And the idea really is to maximize the opportunity. So if folks aren't aware of how these programs apply to their properties, they may not take the maximum opportunity and benefit, and this would help to accomplish that. And now we get to some of the contemplated actual rebate programs that would be a dollar rebate for the implementation of specific measures. And with this, we have some estimates of water savings. These obviously can vary substantially depending on specific practices inside the home. The more miserly folks are with water, the less you'll save when you implement a fixture program. But I've given a range and tried to bracket this in such a way that it can at least become good for comparative purposes. So for hot water recirculation, it is a system to minimize the waste of water while you wait for hot water at the tap. There are a number of different styles. I prefer the one where you actually push a button when you want hot water to avoid the ongoing waste of energy for keeping the water hot all the time in the pipes. But there are also timer-based systems and temperature-based systems. So a number of different options there, and they vary in price. The proposed rebate is $300, which is substantial relative to the cost. I mean, that will certainly fund the pump itself, maybe some of the plumbing work. It will not fund the whole hot water system. I price them out myself for my own property, and somewhere, you know, less than $1,000, I think I could get it done for the push-button style. But this would be a substantive rebate and incentive to get people to implement. Annual savings estimates vary depending on practices. $5,000 to $10,000 is the range I provided. I've seen estimates of over $10,000 in some of the literature, but I think it's in that range in Los Osos. And assuming that this fixture would last approximately 10 years, the cost per acre foot saved is fairly attractive. That $1,400 per acre foot reflects the value of the rebate, not the value of the total cost of the fixture. So when you look at the cost to the BMC, it's fairly cost-effective relative to, you know, comparing with other fictitious projects that may be out there for importing water and other things that could be north of $3,000 an acre foot. So in each of these slides, I talk about full implementation. If you had widespread adoption of this measure, you could save in the range of 50 to 100 acre feet per year. And that's even on top of the substantial savings that have already been occurring in the community. So this is a substantial opportunity if it's widely implemented. Item number two is a little more aggressive high-efficiency clothes washer program, upping the rebate from $150 to $250 and extending that forward into the future. Annual savings vary depending on the type of washer you currently have, but range from 3,000 to 5,000 gallons, and you can save 20 to 30 or even a little more per load. I'm one of the 100 adopters of the county's rebate program, and it definitely had a substantial savings for me. We think we clocked our old washer at about 50 gallons per load, the new at about 15, so I'm a little north of that range. So if folks do it, it definitely is a substantial water saver. There is a limited fixture life with modern washing machines, and that drives the cost up. So I'd say it's a little deceiving to say, oh, this is not a cost-effective measure. It becomes more effective if folks either are careful with how they maintain the unit, or when they replace it with one in kind, another front-loading unit. Then this fixture saves water on into the future. So full implementation could reach 40 to 60 acre feet per year. And this could be additive to the last program. They're not mutually exclusive, so you can keep that in mind, because some of these programs, you can't necessarily add them because they're overlapping. So as we discussed briefly in a previous slide, there are thousands, perhaps over 5,000, I've seen estimates between 5 and 8,000 toilets in the community that are the 1.6 gallon per flush that could be replaced with some of the newer technologies that can achieve less than 1 gallon per flush. Even if you go with a code-based technology, which is 1.28, the 1.28s, in my view, the good ones flush better than the 1.6s. And I think it would be worth considering continuing this program on into the future in order to encourage people to go beyond the 1.6. So the proposed rebate matches the county's rebate of $250. The average savings is a little more modest than some of the other fixtures, but considering that there could be multiple toilets in a single home, it does add up, estimated at about 1,500 gallons per year. For toilets and shower heads, I use some of the Pacific Institute numbers for number of flushes per day and minutes of showers per day in coming up with some of these estimates. But because the rebate is fairly modest and the fixture life is very long, the cost per acre foot for the rebate is fairly cost effective at $2,700 per acre feet. And again, the savings, I think, could reach 30 to 50 acre feet per year. Similar approach with shower heads. The county's current program allows a 2 gallon per minute head to remain, whereas there are many good commercially acceptable shower heads that get down to 1.5. Obviously, there is a lot of subjective evaluation in the acceptable performance category. That's my personal opinion. An exact count is difficult, but we think it's thousands, perhaps it's over 5,000. A very small rebate on this to cover a shower head, and with a substantial potential savings. At an average shower length of 8 minutes per shower, you can get to 1,500 gallons quickly. It's the most inexpensive program at only $900 per acre foot, just because of the cost of the fixture, and savings could reach the range that you see there, 30 to 50 acre feet per year. Sir?
Before you go on to outdoor, I have a question, because this has not come up before, but dishwashers. Energy efficient dishwashers basically use 3 gallons per load. And the older ones use 20 to 30. But a person hand washing their dishes uses close to 60 gallons. Is that something that we want to look at in the future as far as the indoor program? Rebates for either energy efficient dishwashers or just educating people, like, don't pre-rinse your dishes before you put them in the dishwasher.
That's smart. We really haven't talked about dishwashers much in the community. So I think that would be good. Yeah, I think that would be good to add to the list and consider. Okay, and now we want to get to various septic tank repurpose options and outdoor options. And I think it's good, Bill, that you brought up the issue of clean clothes and refill and how that can be used along with this program. So the program we're considering is a $500 rebate, a substantial rebate for repurposing your septic tank for roof water irrigation. As far as how that would be done and what percentage of the total project cost that $500 would cover, it would depend on how the irrigation was actually accomplished. For a permanently mounted pump, you could spend several thousand dollars on a repurposed, fully automated irrigation system. It'd be easy to do. In many cases, a simple access riser to the final chamber in the tank, together with some sort of a mobile pump arrangement where you drop in the pump, have a quick connect with a hose, and a dedicated drip system that would only be connected to that pump, to the landscape material that you're irrigating, that could be a more cost-effective approach and may make this rebate more attractive. That's an approach I'd be looking to take personally. So the annual savings is something to be discussed and considered. Obviously, it depends on the number of irrigation events that you could enjoy with your tank. And depending on the tank location, there are many areas in the community where we don't have high groundwater and the tanks aren't at risk of popping out of the ground or floating. And in those areas, perhaps they don't have to be completely refilled. That's something that would have to be evaluated. But we do know that with rainfall patterns here are typically on a start and stop basis. We certainly saw that this year where we had some hot or warm weather followed by moderate rainfall and then hot weather again. And we'd estimate that you might be able to get between 3 and 4 irrigation events in an average year, which would save 3,000 to 4,000 gallons for a 1,000-gallon tank. So obviously this is climate-dependent, and some of the other programs here perhaps would yield more benefits. But we thought it was a reasonable estimate to get 3 to 4 turns on a tank. Tank life, of course, could vary, but for precast concrete, we figured it would last at least another 20 years. 20 years is not as long as it used to seem. And you look at the rebate amount, yields a $2,300 per acre foot water savings estimate, still cost effective. But, of course, there's a number of embedded assumptions there. So with full implementation, the savings could be substantial. And, of course, it depends on people's behavior with respect to their irrigation practices, but it could reach 40 to 60 acre foot per year in our estimation. So when you combine septic tank repurposing with outdoor item 2, you begin to realize a potential stronger benefit for these tanks. And that is if they're repurposed not only to capture roof water, but also during the dry season for hauled recycled water. Now, there are areas in the community, particularly within the district's water service area, that are currently under some stringent prohibitions, including a limitation on the amount of water per person that's allowed at 50 gallons per capita. And as seawater intrusion occurs or continues, as climate rises and falls and we have drought cycles, we certainly could see further restrictions on outdoor watering California-wide and particularly here in Los Osos. So as people are responding to that, we see what's happened in other communities like the city of San Luis Obispo and Cambria, where folks, because of lifestyle choices, they may be prohibited from using potable water outdoors, but they will go to significant lengths to have water available for some level of outdoor use. And for that reason, having recycled water available. Bruce,
yeah,
go ahead.
And let me just add, in Cambria, it's not so much a lifestyle choice as an ordinance and a very severe pricing structure.
Right, right.
That drives that choice. And we'll talk maybe a little bit about that.
Good. I could use some context there in Cambria because they've been living with that for a number of years. So recycled water. There is a state policy, in spite of my personal efforts, that prohibits recycled water from being delivered under pressure to a single-family home. There are areas in California where associations and other community groups manage front yard landscaping in a single-family context where this is done and has been done successfully. But the state's current policy is that they don't want to see the individual homeowner managing a pressurized recycled water connection because of a fear of cross-contamination. They've actually had instances of cross-contamination. And so, but they do allow this idea of having recycled water filling stations that are in the community that are manned during those hours where filling is allowed, where you can come up, sign a form, and provide ID showing where your property is, fill up your tank, and then take it to your house for use. So you could provide a source of outdoor water, even if potable water is prohibited. And so now all summer long, you could see a use for the septic tanks to store this water for an irrigation event. Perhaps you can even have a paid service to have some water delivered to the property at a cost to fill up the tank and use it for outdoor use. Of course, this would not be cost effective compared to just purchasing water from a purveyor. But for folks who are either restricted under a prohibition or under some sort of a per capita allowance, this would be an opportunity to have real outdoor irrigation supply throughout the summer without having to let your plant material die. So this could, in times when we really need to crank back the use of potable water, could reduce outdoor water use to a very minor amount. And so we're estimating it could save 70 to 90 acre foot per year, maybe even a little bit more when you look at last year. So an interesting program, to say the least. The savings, of course, depends on the quantity that you would actually haul, but we would estimate that this program, the value of the rebate's about $1,400 per acre foot, and would leverage the county's willingness to provide a filling station at 10th Street, and we'll talk a little bit about that under another item here. We wouldn't want to leave out gray water systems because they are more and more prevalent in California, and this rebate would be available for gray water adopters who would be ostensibly eliminating outdoor use of potable water through gray water. And so if that's widely used, we see this as roughly equivalent to the recycled water haulers, where they'd be using that water right on property as opposed to having it run through the treatment plant and then brought back, but the same 70 to 90 acre foot per year and same cost economy. Obviously, if you have a gray water system, you're subject to a host of permit constraints. You know, that gray water has to be applied below a layer of mulch or soil, and you're subject to a number of permit requirements. Recycled water fill station, in discussions with the county, they have indicated a willingness to set up a fill station, probably at the 10th Street location, kind of a central location. It does need to be staffed to satisfy the state. That could be volunteer staff, some of the community groups. There could be certain holidays. There could be local programs that rise up to actually haul the water to individual properties. I did want to again emphasize that this is speaking as an engineer for one of the purveyors. What we don't want to see is pressurized systems that would compete with hard-plumbed irrigation systems that are connected to the purveyors, because even if we were to have a backflow device to monitor, report, and have the annual inspection of those devices, just becomes unwieldy. And so we really think it's important that folks realize you need to run a dedicated drip system for this recycled water to your plant material. I think this would be economically attractive for users, particularly during those periods where outdoor irrigation is limited or prohibited. Laundry to landscape. This takes advantage of the code provision that gives some exemption, some permit exemption, for gravity discharge of laundry water to landscape areas. It can actually be done fairly simply. So we're proposing a rebate of about $50 to encourage people just to think about how easy it could be to reroute your laundry water via gravity to a landscape area. It does need to be under mulch, but 2-inch of mulch is an easy thing for a do-it-yourself person to implement. You don't need a pump. They also are specific in the code that you can't wash diapers and utilize this particular program. And savings could be substantial. At first I thought, well, this is not substantial, but when you look at the amount of washing that's done in town, it could reach a dozen acre foot per year. So, and the rebate's fairly cost effective at $2,600 per acre foot because it's a small rebate. It's really to let folks know that this is available and something they should seriously consider. What are our next steps? Well, we've already taken some of those, and I would invite Director Gibson to talk a little bit about his Cambria knowledge. But, for instance, dishwashers are something that could be considered, at least for the public information. I think that's a very good edit to this program. And then working with the purveyors in the county on short and long-term funding. The county's interested in looking at, as you can see in the staff note, looking at funding that might be sort of a bridge funding to kickstart the program, as long as the purveyors would be willing to step up and take a lead role in this, where it's acknowledged that the county has certainly probably reached their 50 gallons per capita, but in order to extend this beyond and into a program that would really be focused on maximizing conservation, maximizing our ability to save the basin under current limited supplies, I think if the purveyors take a lead, there could be a successful discussion on short-term funding. We would be looking at including this program in the long-term funding similar to what was done with recycled water, where we're looking to repay the county. This would be a program that would be considered for our funding measure, which would be considered hopefully next May 2017. So under our existing conservation budget, you could certainly direct staff to implement some of the information programs, the PR programs, to preserve the flexibility of septic tank repurposing. And I'm not saying we'd necessarily go out and hire a PR firm, which means it may not be very glossy. Although the county's information has been quite good, it might be postcard-level things that can be done cheaply to keep this in front of some of our residents. And I think it would be good to talk a little bit about Cambria if you want to give some more context there.
Thank you, Rob. I won't have a lot of details. I don't have the facts and figures in front of me, but I really appreciate the level of work you've done in the, 2.5 weeks since we sat down and met. Rob came in and met with some county staff and I about how we move this forward, and out of that came this idea. I think we have opportunities at the county for short-term funding that would be eventually paid back by some source of revenue that would be part of the overall effort to balance the basin, and we can talk about that in a minute. First and foremost to me is I hope we can get the purveyors excited about this. I think now is the time for the purveyors to transition into the lead role in terms of driving conservation. We've had a tremendous success with the water conservation program that's attached to the wastewater project within the limited scope where we are. Our preliminary numbers suggest that we are distinctly under 50 gallons per capita per day based on efforts. And so as we branch out and drive toward outdoor conservation and increased conservation, I think that the purveyors are absolutely the right and the important leaders of this, and I look forward to being there to support you. The part of the key of that is that the purveyors have the responsibility for the pricing and, to a great extent, some other regulation, and that's getting back to Cambria. That's how it worked, facing a very dire situation toward the end of the summer just passed. Cambria Community Services District ratcheted up to what they call a Tier 3 rate and instituted an ordinance that said you shall not use potable water outside. Now, since the rains came, they've backed off a little bit, setting a pretty hard cap beyond which serious surcharges get imposed, and allowing a day or two a week when potable water could be used outside. But I think the real push that ended up with recycled water being hauled in tremendous quantities up in Cambria. Every pickup truck seems to have a mini bulk 275-gallon plastic tank sitting in the back of it. Was the fact that there was an outright prohibition of potable water being placed outside and a very serious pricing structure. So that's why I look to the purveyors to say, let's get in. I'm happy to partner and figure out how we can move this forward. But I think the cost effectiveness, the economics of these rebate programs are going to be driven to a very large extent to how the purveyors price their water and how they choose where they can to regulate its use. And again, very open to discussions from the county side if we can be helpful in setting the framework right. But it's that interaction that really makes this work.
Any questions before we go to public comment? Yep, Bill?
I'd just like to ask you, Rob, to add to your slide. S&T Mutual Water Company has hot water recycling rebates that we've had them for over a year.
Do you really?
Yes.
I didn't know. Okay. Well, and what is your rebate amount?
I believe we credit them with $100 per installation.
Have you had any takers?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Not many, but we have some.
S&T, early adopter. Okay. All right.
Any other questions?
Oh, yeah, I have a couple questions. So, you know, we are excited about these programs, and conservation is definitely going to lead the way of where we need to go. But just making sure that we ask the right questions and dive into the programs that are going to be most beneficial right away, I think is critical. And you know, looking at the financial commitment from the Basin Management Committee right now, and what needs to take place for these programs to be the rebate programs and the financial amounts that were provided, is that a standard amount, or where did those figures actually come from for initiating a $500, you know, the actual figures? And is that enough to really provide incentive for people to jump on board with some of these programs? Because as you mentioned, the automated pump system, if it's over $2,000, is $500 going to be enough to make that happen? And is that enough to benefit the purpose of what we need to accomplish for the committee? So that was just a question of, you know, you mentioned going back and using some of our money for to look at the programs and do more of an analysis of, you know, what's going to be the best benefit. You know, I'm a little hesitant of going with another, you know, we're just doing a lot of analysis right now in the beginning, which is what I think we need to do. But, you know, I think it'll pay off. But some of the things, I don't think we can wait for the analysis either. You know, the clean fill and cap, I think that, you know, if these are being decommissioned today as we speak, we need to kind of make a decision on that pretty quick and don't have time for that analysis. Some of the other ones, I think we do. I think that also all these programs, although they might not seem reasonable right now, as Director Gibson pointed out, they might seem very attractive in time to come. So we need to keep everything on the plate and keep those somewhat fluid of the programs and what works now and what will work later. But I think conservation is definitely very important. We need to stay focused in on that, and that needs to be our first priority right now.
Yeah, good. I think it's interesting that, you know, there's many rebate programs around statewide, and you just kind of scroll through the different programs and get some sense for what folks are doing. You never really know whether you're going to be successful until you get it on the street. I mean, I would have thought the county washer rebate, at first I thought, oh, that's, you know, 500 adopters on that. But then the first year, you know, I was one, was really happy to get the rebate. And lo and behold, it wasn't enough. And yet toilets, people were just all over that. So if you get enough public awareness and neighbor-to-neighbor discussion in a community of this size, I think that may be enough to have this become substantial. You're not going to get everybody.
Yeah.
But I felt like $500 was, you know, a number that has been banted around out there. I felt like it was enough to cover sort of a manually operated irrigation system. When you look at the cost of a little submersible pump at $200 to $300 and the quick connections and so forth and the riser, you'd cover pretty much all your materials to do a basic repurposing, and that seemed to be sort of the right threshold. All materials covered, customers fund some labor, and maybe we can get this done. But these, I think, are important to reevaluate over time to see if they're working.
Can somebody shut this line?
Oh, yeah.
That'd
be great.
Thank you.
It's all too hard to multitask as you're listening to two sources there. So there's certainly some judgment applied. Some of the rebates really come from looking at the county and the statewide programs, you know, the $250 for the toilets, $300 for the hot water recirc. Again, looking to cover at least the full amount of the material on the fixture, if not some of the labor.
Mm-hmm. So I just have one other comment. Just the, you know, some of the recycle programs. I know I mentioned it before, just ensuring that, you know, we have the, ensure that everything is in compliance, and, you know, Golden State will look at that closely before anything's connected to the system, our water distribution system, or anything like that. So we just want to make sure that we're following all the guidelines.
Yes, that's important.
Do you have a question?
Yeah, I would just like to point out, and I brought this up to the Board of Supervisors, not this week, but the past week, that they reevaluate their requirement that we fill our septic tanks, repurpose septic tanks with water, because that's an awful lot of water. If we get people to go along with the repurposing of their tanks, that water just sits there in the septic tank. And there's various ways of using that. One, the least expensive way, and probably the very beneficial, is just use your septic tank for what it's been doing right all along, which is going into your leach field and preserving all that planting that you have living over your leach field, because if you go around the county, or the Los Osos, you'll see that there's spots where we have trees and things like that. Most of those are right over leach fields. So if our leach fields dry up, people are going to lose a lot of their landscaping. So the, based on that, it makes just a lot of sense to use your septic tank just to load your leach field.
I think it is worth understanding that fill requirement. Is it a ballast type of hold-down requirement for high groundwater areas? Is it a structural hydraulic pressure push out because the tank wasn't designed for it? What is the genesis?
I believe it was put there for the fear that that water, contaminated water, might come in contact with human beings, and they don't want to cross contamination. I believe it's a health issue that was there.
Okay. Staff can get to the bottom of that if you know, Bruce.
We're working on that. I had a couple more, but I wanted to give you the floor, too. We're working on the question that Bill raised as to why is it that the water has to sit there. I think there are certain mechanical issues like keeping the thing from popping out of the ground or collapsing that are going to have to be assessed in a case by case. But we've got our septic experts working on what the disinfection regime can be, and I'll have Sherry track back on that and see how we're doing.
Yeah, do you have any questions before I go to public comment?
If you didn't have anything, I would just note in terms of Rob's comments about the wastewater project conservation program, there is a sort of fundamental difference between toilet and washer situation, which relates to what I was saying earlier, is that it is by ordinance that the toilets must be replaced down to a certain extent. The washer was an opportunity to give people a chance to conserve more on an optional basis.
Right.
And so that was a little bit different. And the other thing, which is sort of more like a comment, it might be important as we talk about this to the community. We're talking about the cost of saving an acre foot per rebate issue, but we should also probably calculate what the net cost to the homeowner is for a project, net of the rebate, and how much are they saving in terms of gallons saved that might reduce their water bill.
Great.
Until
the economic side of those gallons saved.
Right. To the ratepayer.
Right. Before we explain that if they all save that much, then rates have to be adjusted.
Exactly, because that's going to really, that's that supply and demand, curve issue that is going to decide whether this is actually going to work.
Right. Good. Those are excellent feedback.
Any other questions? Okay, seeing none, then we'll go to public comment.
I'm kind of disappointed by this whole project because I thought that Basin Committee was supposed to look at alternates to getting us more water, such as mixing the upper and lower aquifers and drilling wells in the east. And I mean, when I looked at the basin plan draft a long time ago, granted it's been a long time, conservation wasn't a big part of it. The conservation was part of the sewer project, which is part of the basin plan. So I this is a real disappointment to me. Also, you're not taking into consideration you save more and more water, the rate of water, the cost of water goes up. And all the rebates are paid for by the stakeholder, and in some way, either higher fees, taxes, rates and charges. If the county's loaning us the money, there's going to be we're going to have to pay that back somehow for these rebates. So there's no savings to us. The rates, the purveyors are going to charge more the less we use. That's proven. We're doing it now. And the other thing, there's unintended consequences when you talk about the water heaters. My neighbor has one, and she can't put in an instant water heater valve, so like me, where I can just turn hot water on in my shower, she had to pay for a whole new electrical system. She, you know, has to fill her bucket to get hot water. Granted, she doesn't have a water tank, but, you know, I get instant hot water. So there's all, you know, you sell ideas that sound good, but in the long run, they're going to cost us a lot more. And I'm surprised that there was a meeting with county staff and without the other water purveyors present. That's kind of, you know, it's a group effort here, and I'm kind of disappointed in that. But I want to hear what we're doing to bring quantity in, not, you know, asking more and more of the ratepayer, because we are going to end up paying more the less we use. And I want to hear about, you know, we had desal on that plan. We had, you know, those are the things people, I think, are willing to pay more for, not less water. We're going to be paying more for less, and that's a concept people don't really, it's not our nature. But I think people are willing to pay more for more. And those are my comments. Thanks.
Lou Tornosky, Los Osos. I was pleased to see 25 people come on a beautiful sunny day to hear about this. And we all think all the solutions that you put on the board and walked us through, most of them are really great. The problem is we have a community, and communities differ. There are always people that are always at the cutting edge of the normal curve. Stuff that they're interested in, they're going to find it and buy it and do it. That's not the way everybody works. And what's missing, and there's a normal curve for any new innovation. You got the early adopters, and then you got people, well, maybe I'll do it. Then you got people down at this end of the curve. They'll never do it unless you hold a gun to their head, almost. I think we're ignoring that part of this. This needs to be the technologies. We'll pick the ones that have the most impact and make sense from an economic point of view. But this has got to be a campaign that hits everybody. I mean, actively hits them. People going around in neighborhoods. People having discussions. Otherwise, this is going to be so slow and so slow. And there is a huge literature about how you go about this. There's two things. People are different and technologies are different. Some technologies are infinitely easier to implement and some are a bear. They'll resist those. People differ. Some people will get onto something that's new and they're into all this stuff and they'll get it. Then there are people down at the end of the curve. You're going to be twisting their arm for months. We need to think about a real campaign that's going to last months and probably years, that's innovative, has all kinds of ways people can relate to these things, and that's the part of it that I kind of got as missing. We all love that stuff. That's why we're here. The missing piece is the people.
My name is Keith Weimer. I'm the chair of the Water Committee of the local chapter of the Sierra Club and a member of the Sustainability Group. And, Mr. Chair, I'd like to request a little extra time. I think everybody knows that this is my one of my interests is conservation. Okay, thank you. All right. Yeah, and I will cover some of the points. I want to thank the committee for making conservation a priority program in the Basin Plan, and it's obviously a priority program for you, and for realizing that outdoor conservation, in particular repurposing rainwater septic tanks for rainwater catchment and recycled water use, provides an opportunity to help save the basin that we can't afford to waste and that we have to act on quickly. With the monster El Nino delivering what we used to call average rainfall, it's clear that Mother Nature is not going to come to our rescue. My focus today is how to turn this basic plan into an action plan that can be implemented immediately to capture the considerable benefits of outdoor conservation, especially repurposing. We have to take advantage of the connection phase of the Los Osos Wastewater Project. It's the time when measures will be most cost-effective and when homeowners in the basin plan will benefit the most. We ask you to set your sights on implementing an effective plan by next month. Here are some ways to do that. We ask that you not have lengthy discussion on who pays if a basin-wide assessment doesn't pass. The discussion should focus on how to implement the best possible conservation program so a 218 will pass. There is no better way to get people behind your efforts than to let them be part of the process. They will be more likely to support a 218 and fund administration and other programs with a very strong, very visible conservation program. It's a great PR opportunity. The county has $2.4 million budgeted for conservation and is committed to spending $1.2 million after that. And Coastal Commission staff supports some of the money going to outdoor conservation measures, including repurposing. Basin Management Committee members, especially Supervisor Gibson, we look to you for leadership to make this happen now. To expedite the program, we recommend that the county administers the program initially as proposed in the basin plan. This means handling the rebates and doing much of the outreach. The county has the structure and the people in place to do this since it is now implementing the Los Osos Wastewater Conservation Program. There is more to do with that program, and we emphasize that that they are also in a good position to do the at least the initial part of the repurposing outreach and so forth. Of course, all parties would work together on a compressed timetable to put together a plan that distributes the workload and responsibility. This plan mentions outreach, but I want to stress that a very strong outreach program is needed immediately. Only 27% of homeowners at this point are keeping their tanks intact. This number should be 70%. Many people don't know that keeping their tanks intact, the clean and close option is the least expensive, and it allows them to repurpose to reuse systems later. By the way, if they repurpose, then that water that Director Garfinkel was talking about would be used beneficially. We recommend personal contact of homeowners. I think somebody mentioned that. I think that was Lou. To ensure they have accurate information as soon as possible, toward this end, we recommend that water surveys, and I think you call them audits, as are described in the county implementation plan, are conducted to provide homeowner information on conservation and repurposing options and the best measures for them to install. That's a great opportunity to educate people and to get them involved and to make them feel like they're part of this cutting-edge stuff that we're doing here. Also essential for program effectiveness are time-specific implementation targets for each measure with milestones that backup actions that ramp up efforts if milestones are not reached. This means increasing rebates if the initial rebates don't work. We need a backup plan if it's not working. It's the same with the basin plan, by the way. We recommend a target for repurposing to simple rainwater recycle water use systems of over 50% of homes by next April, with three-month milestones in place to ensure the target is reached. There are a few problems with the rebate amounts. I think people have mentioned these. But it costs about $600 to $700, we're finding out, to repurpose to a simple rainwater reuse system. And, of course, to do the recirculators is $500 or more. And washers, we know, are $700 or so more. So the $200 to $300 rebates for washers and recirculators, they haven't worked for the county program. They're not likely to work for this program. Okay. Again, we would be willing to work in an ad hoc committee with the goal of producing a plan for implementation by next month. We encourage the committee to take the bold, decisive, and immediate action the basin plan says is needed to reverse seawater intrusion and seize this opportunity to help save the basin. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Karen Zenditti, and I am very grateful to each and every one of you, you especially, Rob, for putting so much time and energy into making this a successful program for our community. A couple of thoughts I wanted to share. First of all, Bill, I'm in phase three, so I wasn't thinking about the wasted water that goes into that tank. That's a really good question. I'm on high ground with nothing but sand around me, so I don't think I need that. But I'd sure like a clarification from the county after they consider that. Thank you, Bruce. Rob, I really appreciated your next steps, especially the one I'm going to tag on to what Keith just said and what Lou just said. I think information is really, really, really the key, not just providing it, but getting it out there. And we do have a lot of folks here in this community who are happy to help if you want that help. And what Lou said in particular is so true. There's that graph, so to speak, where some are on the front end, some are very slow and reluctant. But a lot of that has to do with education, I do believe. And incentives, so the rebates are part of that education. I'm going to just say one more thing, and that's actually in a comment to a previous public speaker, and that is about why are we asked to conserve as opposed to why not bring in more water. I've done a little homework on this when I sat on the technical advisory committee with you, Bill, and Marshall, and learned a lot in that process. Desal is the most environmentally destructive and the most expensive way to get your water. And the state doesn't have much water. Nacimiento certainly doesn't either. We need to find ways to live within our means. Our means is our aquifer. We need to live within that, I do believe. And I'm going to tag on to Bruce, what you were commenting to the purveyors, I strongly support, and that is that even though we don't want to pay more money, the fact is the money really drives usage. And so, I think that water is the new gold. Purveyors are entitled, but also reasonably should be pricing water so that people use less and less. That's what's going to drive that relationship, as well as the relationship with rebates. So I just want to affirm very much what I'm hearing and offer support. Thank you so much.
Lynette Tornatsky, Los Osos. I'm following up on Bill Garfinkel's comment about why are we doing what we're doing with the tanks and filling them up with water and just letting them sit there. I'm in group three, so I haven't really thought about the waste of water, but I'm wondering about the bleach part. I have two trees in our front yard that have never been watered, and they're lush, so I'm certain they're somehow connected to the septic tank. And I'd like to know, what is that bleach going to do to those trees? They're already going to be stressed once the septic tanks are taken offline. So what is the bleach going to do to them? And maybe people are starting to think about that and wondering, since we've been using these tanks for years and years without bleach, why are we doing it if we're not going to do anything but maybe use rain catchment and let the leach field, just take the water out back where it would go anyway? The other question I have is on how recirculating pumps work. We've already been told by one plumber that because we're on a slab, we can't do it. Most houses are on slabs. Now, that's perhaps incorrect information, but if we're already having contractors telling people, well, there's no point in using your tank, let's just crash it in and fill it, if we're having plumbers telling people you can't use a recirculating pump if you're on a slab, I mean, the people I know who have them are on raised foundations. So I have no idea how this works, but that might be some kind of information that those of us out in the community who want to do this need to get correct information. Thanks.
Thank
Good afternoon. I'm Chuck Cicinia, resident of Los Osos. Correct information is certainly the key to all of this. With the number of contractors that are here, the stories are pretty crazy. Can't use a hot water recirculator with a slab. You've already got the plumbing installed. You need a couple connections and switches. Water conservation is the cheapest way to find more water. I mean, it'd be nice if you could just go make more water. I'm sure you guys would like to do that if it could be provided at the same cost of the water we have now. Conservation is the key. The septic repurposing program is the one that we can jump on now. And so I don't think that any part of that should be transferred to this committee. I think the county should hang on to that particular rebate program in its entirety. Regarding cooperation, the CSD is meeting Monday night to talk about the next level of rate increases because rainfall this year didn't really materialize like it was hoped for. So we're looking at moving up to the next level of rate increases. We're going to be doing our part to try and help solve this problem. And maybe there'll be an ordinance in the future, just like Cambria's. Potable water can't be used outdoors. We don't know because we can't predict what the future weather is going to bring. But we do need to save every bit of water we can. Moving wells, that's all part of what goes on. But conservation is going to be the fastest way to help anything. So rebate programs, the repurposing especially. And that water can be reused, soda ash. You'll neutralize the chlorine for the bleach. Or there's other things you can use, too. That water won't be wasted that you use to sanitize your tank. All these problems can be overcome, but good information is the key, and that outreach program is vital. Door hangers, whatever you need to do, let's do it. Thank you.
I'm Teresa Sawyer. I live on Manzanita. I'm in phase one, and I've probably gotten about 12 bids to get my septic tank taken care of and hook up to the sewer line. It ranges anywhere from $1,250 to $10,000, and each person has been given a written outline of exactly what it is I need to have done. I've measured it. I've had different information for them to make their job easy, and that's what I'm faced with. Some of the contractors are telling people that they will only do the job if they fill the tank after it's pumped with sand or with slurry. And they said, if I don't choose that, they won't do the job. Some of the people have now been notified that they did qualify for the funding to cover the cost of them hooking up. And right now is a perfect time to get that list, notify all those people, and the contractors are getting the money from that funding to for the homeowner to have the option to set their septic tank for reuse. Because that water, no matter what you do or where it comes from, it's going to go back into the aquifer. And we need to take advantage of every single thing we can to get water back into the ground. So if they get the funding to pay for it, we should be able to offer to them that program, no matter what their contractor is telling them. Because it is an option, and it's a good option to go with. I talked to the county today. And I also discovered that if we do a reuse program, the county is paying, they're covering the cost of the permit for the reuse. So the individual doesn't have to pay. And I don't know what the difference is because I didn't get to follow up on it, but it's either a $35 permit fee or a $65 permit fee, and I don't know what the difference is. I didn't get an answer on that yet. But if I could get, I don't need the financial information, no detailed information, but if I could get a list of the people that have qualified for the funding to cover their cost to hook up, we can get information out to them and we can suggest to them that it costs less for the septic tank to be set up for reuse than it does to fill it full of slurry or sand. It's very expensive for that. And when we fill the tanks with water, okay, let me finish this. It's we have to use water from the tap to fill that tank right now because there's no program set up for us this early in the game. So why can't we hold off on that part and get it from the sewer plant after they've run it through the system and cleaned it? Why can't we have them deliver it to us? They don't have any place to send all that water anyway. So let us have it for a reuse program. Okay.
Lindy Owen from Los Osos. Number one, you can fill all these septic tanks with upper aquifer water. We have several places that it can be. I mean, we might have to take a little effort to get some of the upper aquifer that's polluted, but it's safe to use, and put that into the upper, into our repurposed septic tank. So bleach dissipates in about an hour, so it's not toxic. I come forward with a few other things. First, in this, we've got the three purveyors and the county. I want to know, the county is holding $2.4 million plus the money that will come afterwards, but I see no performance on the county's end to really be helping at this point. That $2.4 million could be set up to put fill stations in and to help set up a truck delivery system, and it could also be used to put meters on the private wells. It's known that there's a 20% reduction once a private well owner becomes part of the problem. They become part of the solution by cutting back 20%. That's significant. We have lots of little ways of actually getting conservation done with less money, and I think the county needs to put that $2.4 million to work now. Since 1970, we watched seawater intrusion begin, so it's a little bit late, but I still want that money used. Anybody outside the prohibition zone that needs a water for outdoor reuse, they can pay a fee. I mean, set this up so it works. You have a truck drive up, it fills up its tank, it goes to John Smith's house, it fills his tank, comes back, goes to Mary Jones's house. What is the quality of life if we live in a dead habitat? That's what we have in our future. We talk about the trees that are going to lose their leach water. This is the only way you're going to fix it, is put water back into that tank somehow. We're paying mucho dinero to recycle all this water, so give it to us, and it belongs to the community. It should be way more affordable. And then all the purveyors will be raising their rates to cover the costs of us being more conservative, but we will have an outdoors in our future, instead of what's ahead is nothing. I mean, this is going to be one dead city. You look at the amount of trees that have died already, the landscaping that is dead. Just look out here at our county park. So I urge that we do that. I would be glad to help with some ideas about education. I thought a flyer that says so much rebate for your washer to buy a front loader uses 10 gallons versus 40 gallons. Put those big things around town. I mean, people will get it, and I definitely think education would be the biggest help. I think the city of San Luis has an excellent program, and if we could borrow from them, I don't think we need to reinvent the wheel. CSD wasted $30 million on some sad posters. Thank you.
Before you start my time, can I get a slide put back up, Rob? The bell curve of water purveyor.
That one. If you're going to go public with this at some point, that needs to be accurate. The last column? Look at the last three, four columns.
They're at or above the 1,500. So where's the...
Do you get what I'm saying?
Okay.
I mean, that end of that graph should
have spiked down dramatically. The county's
water conservation program needs to be part of this discussion about what rebates you're going to do and the outreach with the community, ongoing education, because that program was developed by the county through a consultant, and it's a 10-year water conservation program. It's not just for the life of the wastewater project and getting to the point of hooking up. There's $5 million. Over, I think it's 1.2, 1.3 of that is ongoing education, outreach, monitoring, all of those things. That's, you got to find out what's going to happen with that money down the road. There's also, the consultant said that there would be 2,000 washing machines replaced in this community at that rebate amount. The consultant hired by the county. Ron Munns, who you're just talking about hiring, told the county early on in the process, there's no chance of doing 2,000. They weren't running that rate in San Luis. And San Luis is way bigger than we are. So we need to be accurate when we go forward with this. The chart you had about, I'm not going to ask you to pull up because it will take too much time, but the slide you had about recirculating pumps, 5,000 to 10,000 gallon savings, you're talking 14 to 28 gallons per day on a per capita of less than 60 and a household size of 2.5 on average in this community. Is that the accurate percentage of savings when part of that per capita is outdoor also? I think you need to go back and, you know, really evaluate some of those numbers if they are consistent with Pacific Institute and this type of climate and this type of community as far as the building inventory. Some of those numbers apply to Northern California where they have, you know, winter. And it takes longer for the water to get through a cold pipe. That's all involved in this. But, Mr. Tarnowski, I'm going to end with this because there's a number of things we could talk about here. Said that there's 25 people here or whatever. There's actually only 15 from the public. That's 0.1% of the population of Los Osos. Don't you think this meeting and that presentation would have been good to have had videotaped and on Channel 20 on a continual loop like the CSD meetings for the next entire month? Really? And Marsha, you said this was going to be discussed at this meeting, that this was going to come up about the videotaping again. Yes, you did. Excuse me. With that, we'll close public comment. For those of you, a lot of you know this, my wife had knee replacement surgery, so I'm going to have to leave. So, Chuck, you're going to have to take my place. Let me just make my comments, and then I'll turn it over to Mark at that point. But I think we had some good comments, and I'll defer questions till after I leave.
Wonderful. Thank you.
But I think the important thing that I heard from all of this is the education program that we really need to get the community involved into it. The outreach program and things like that are really critical. You know, and I appreciate the fact about water supply. The Basin Management Plan is trying to work with the supply that we have without bringing in outside new sources of water, because that's really just something that as we went through in the process, it just wasn't either environmentally or economically a viable thing to pursue. So it's really up to our users and up to our purveyors to be able to make this work. So, and with the county working with us in that regard. But again, I apologize, but my wife did have knee replacement surgery, so I have priorities in life, unfortunately.
Good.
So, Chuck, with that, I'll turn it over to Mike.
Mark,
pardon me. I'll turn it over to Mark. See, I got a little distracted here, so.
Okay, thank you. I have a couple comments myself. You hear the public engagement. Is there a way to bring the public and get this outreach hitting the street? Is there a way to bring in some volunteers or create a committee or something? And would they be able to convey the image or the information correctly from the Basin Management Committee, and you know, would there be volunteers to do that, you know, to actually assist with getting this information out, you know, and if we had flyers or something of that nature distributed, do we have a, you know, Saturday community outreach meeting, you know, just tabletop and see what those ideas are. And because I think there are, you know, almost everybody here mentioned that aspect. So I think that is an important to really look at the people and look at the diversity of people, that some of these options that we're mentioning work for some people and they're not going to work for others. But trying to find neutral ground where we get as many people engaged as possible, I think, is something we should consider doing and something we need to do right away. So that was one of my comments. I agree. You know, looking at conservation, something we need to do right now. Other opportunities will come down the road. The So that's about all my comments. But just the active campaign is something I think that all the community commented on. Is it?
Yeah, and Mr. Chair, I think it might be good too if I don't know if you want to take director comments first, but for me to walk through maybe some responses public comment. I thought it was a very broad and beneficial public discussion. Did want to deal a little bit with the issue of supply versus demand, because I think while it was only one speaker, many people reflect that question, because it is the purveyor's obligation to bring in sufficient supplies to provide for our water needs. And so because today's meeting was focused on conservation, didn't want to minimize the concept that the Basin Plan is a document which includes physical infrastructure programs, that those also are being pursued and should be pursued. And the item where we talked about the county's financial consultant, they're looking at the implementation and the funding of those programs for the program Sea Wells, the completion of those easterly shifts. Both the LOCSD and Golden State are working on supply projects right now. That being said, they're not the fastest projects, and they have uncertain funding sources for some of the Program C projects, and those funding sources may or may not be quick as well. So if we are successful next May and there's a program that the community can get behind to bring in to bolster our water supplies, then we'll have that advantage of having more water to enjoy. If not, we have the active threat of seawater intrusion we're trying to address at the same time. And that's why there's an emphasis on conservation, but not at the exclusion of robust supply. I think the idea is, and this is actually going to come out more in May and June when we talk about the annual report, is what is the health of the basin over time, and how does that inform the amount of water that we should be reasonably using per property? The more safe water supplies we have that in a balanced basin, the more we can enjoy moderately cost water and outdoor water. So that's going to be a constant tension that we're just going to have to work through. But conservation is not at the exclusion of sufficient supply. There was a lot of discussion on public information. And I think if staff at least had direction from the committee to, now that this is public, this discussion, to have a campaign that we can suggest to individual staffs of the various purveyors without involving the full committee, so we can move quickly to get information in the hands of owners, even just to let them know that this discussion is ongoing, that they may not be aware of it. I'll be clear that the public information side, I love my calculator and my spreadsheets, but that's probably not my personal strength. But others are strong in that. County has some people who are very strong in it, so we need to draw on those resources. And if there are volunteer resources, those can be helpful as well. Answering some of the specific discussion points, there was one question about hot water recirculation pumps and how they work. those can function independent of the type of foundation on a building. There are systems that can just go underneath the sink. It just involves the installation of a small pump and a sensing device, which can be easy as pushing a button when you want hot water before you actually turn on the tap. I didn't mean to jump around in public comment that I was expecting actually more feedback on the accuracy of my estimates for savings. Expected a lot of focus on that, actually. Didn't get it. Looked at the Pacific Institute, look at the EPA WaterWise statistics, which all tended to be higher than what I estimated because we are already so low. And so did I hit it on the head? You have to look at some of the underlying assumptions to see whether we did. I think they were within the range. For instance, hot water recirc, assuming that even in our coastal community where temperatures are warmer, that there would be a 30 to 60 second delay in that hot water coming to the shower or coming to the tap, and the number of events that occurred per day. I did work through some of those numbers. That chart was annotated with text on the right-hand side to provide the current numbers. It's the bars that have not yet been extended out to 2015, so that was well taken. Let's see here. And I think those are some of the substantive questions that were asked, and be happy to answer more questions with the committee, but staff's ready to move forward on some public information to let folks know this is being talked about.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Rob.
Any other comments? Questions?
Go ahead. It's
Mark's chair, and I think.
Okay. Oh, okay. I missed that part.
Yeah. Vice chair.
Good. I was wondering why. Okay.
Yeah.
Any further comments?
Let me just indicate I stand by to work with the purveyors, and county staff can be brought into this as necessary. I think it's and I take from the comment of the three purveyors at the table their interest in moving this forward. I think Mr. Ternansky made a very important point about the social component to getting this done. It's actually a lesson we've learned in doing the wastewater project, which is that it is about the community relationship in getting stuff done and not so much the engineering. That the engineering will follow along once we have the community commitment. That community commitment is going to be a process of both education and enforcement through the authorities that the water purveyors provide in terms of their way of providing it. And let me just answer one piece that came up in public comment is about the county picking up the cost of the septic reuse. The basic reality is that the septic tank either has to be abandoned or repurposed. And as it turns out, the cost of doing that apparently appears to be a little bit less than for repurposing than it is for pure abandonment. Now, county staff, working through Slow Green Build, is on a mission to inform contractors that there's no specific reason that they need to abandon and fill with sand or slurry. We can't help what contractors do in the end. I suggest that we had someone quip they got a proposal from a contractor that was going to fill the tank with sand. And when they complained about that, somebody observed that they were dealing with the wrong contractor. We just need to get contractors who are ready to do the right thing. What the county has done, I'm not taking public comment at this point. What the county has done is, while we found that the actual mechanics of reusing a septic tank is likely cheaper than abandoning it, the permitting costs were a little bit higher for repurposing. There was a little bit extra inspection that had to be done. And so our public works staff and I beat on our planning department for a while to get the permit cost down to be the same, whether it's going to be abandoned or whether it's going to be repurposed. So that's what we did in an effort to make it seamless. We think at this point there are adequate incentives in place given the responsibility of the property owner. Now, property owners who have financial hardship are in the process of applying for financial aid to make these things happen. So I think we're set there. Let me
once again, speak to the issue of the conservation money that's in the wastewater project. That project, that condition that requires that money is specifically tied to indoor water use. We've said that over and over again, and you know, I don't know why it doesn't finally sink in. But I think there's a bigger philosophic issue here, which is that water conservation is a basin-wide issue and not a prohibition zone issue. So I think it's time to move resources away from the wastewater project and establish resources in a basin-wide configuration, and that gets led by the water purveyors and by the leadership of the county for those that aren't under the jurisdiction of one of the water purveyors. That amounts to relieving the prohibition zone of the particular whatever's left over of that water conservation cost, but basically spreading that over the basin. So what we're going to see within the prohibition zone is potentially a slight decrease in the amount that the prohibition zone is going to have to pay. So it's time to move the wastewater project into its role as an operating part of basin management. And that's why what I've talked about with Mr. Miller, representing at least one of the water purveyors and certainly representing this committee, is the ability for the county to bridge that transition of resources that were specific to the wastewater project now to create resources that are more generally applied to the basin. So I'm available to do that, to provide any assistance in public outreach that you might think would be useful, and to you know, to just to brainstorm with folks and do it. But again, I'm very much looking forward to the water purveyors taking the lead on this in driving further conservation. It is the first. And with that said, Mr. Chairman, I have to be in Cambria by 4 o'clock, and so whatever accommodation you might make would be much appreciated.
Okay,
thank you.
Any other comments?
Yes. Going back to the conservation, I think you've covered several things, but the need, which Mark, you also brought up, to inform and engage our community in conservation is probably the biggest. And I had a change of mind, I guess I need to say. I'm looking back to when we had the technical advisory committee for the sewer project, and there was a lot of opposition and a lot of misinformation about that. But as we all know, in the end, we got overwhelming support from the community to go ahead and they on that 218. And I think one of the reasons why that happened is that we were televising our meetings. And the people who were able to see, who don't come to meetings, were able to see and hear many of the things that were talked about. So I'm now thinking that perhaps we ought to support televising our meetings so we can quickly get this message out of conservation to as many more people as we can.
Thank you. Director.
Thank you. I've always believed that. I think this would have been a wonderful discussion to have out in front of the community on television, because this is very complex. You see that one of the keys that is needed is for the homeowner to have information so that they can direct the contractors. And if they're not getting what they deserve from a contractor, they can move on. But they need to know first what the options are so they can direct the contractor. Some of the things we've heard were pretty disappointing. I agree that purveyors have a key role here. That's why Monday night we're considering our next round of price increases. Ordinances may follow, but I still think septic repurposing is a key that needs to happen now, and I think that the water purveyors getting involved in that is going to be a little bit too late for it to happen. It's part of a wastewater project, so I'd still like to see that happen through a CDP amendment. And I thank everyone for your concern, because this is our water basin. It's the only one we've got. So we've got to find ways to maximize the supply from it and reduce the use. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so one of the items we discussed earlier was how to direct for our conservation effort. You know, we have a certain amount budgeted, and how do we best utilize those funds? Knowing what we've discussed today, I think it is important to really analyze that, how we're going to proceed with this, where the financial responsibility is going to lie, and the time frame for doing that, because all of us need to you know, have those funds available to contribute as much as we want to do everything there. There were some significant dollar amounts presented before us today. So there's a lot that needs to be considered there. I think it would be beneficial to utilize some of our existing funds to analyze the conservation program that we need to implement from the Basin Management Committee.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Even your existing administrative funds, just to prepare the agenda packages, I think we can get there under those budgeted dollars. You know, my time to frame this up in the next 4 weeks so that you have more clarity on next steps and on funding sources and how the flow of dollars and programs might specifically work. I mean, the intent of this meeting was two things. One, to get the initial ideas out and receive feedback, and if those are well received from the committee, then we'll go to the next more detailed level of looking at if there is going to be some bridge funding, how the mechanics would work, how this would then get rolled over into a community-wide funding vote, what things can be done right now, draft products for public information assembled over the next few weeks, so that when we come back in May, we have a definitive door hanger program, mailer program. Here's what the costs are, and let's get it done. And so that's what staff was thinking as far as this item.
And so, is there a dollar amount that's estimated for that initial step to do that?
You know, I think that direct postcards and door hangers can be done for less than half of what you budgeted for water conservation. But we've, not knowing whether we were successfully framed the overall approach, didn't go to that level of detail. But we feel like we can bring that back to you quickly.
Okay. So do we have a motion to proceed with analyzing the conservation measures?
I think one way to frame the motion might be to direct staff to bring back the specifics of the financial process and the public information process for your next meeting for adoption.
Okay. Do we have a motion to do that?
I'd make that motion.
Okay. Do we have a second?
I'll second that with one question. When you say specifics, do you mean what a hanger or a postcard would look like?
Okay. I would like you to approve that.
Yeah,
please.
Yeah, okay. That's what I'd like to. Yeah. Yes, that was a second.
A question. I realize we we meet once a month, and the repurposing of the tanks, or the tank activity is really very strong right now, especially in my community. I'm already done. And my community, with Sunset Terrace, lots of people are working on it, and there is a lot of confusion. So there's some urgency, I think, in this getting the word out to people. Is it appropriate for us to form maybe a subcommittee that could actively help you putting together outreach program?
One way to do this would be if we could just get into the hands of homeowners a very quick notice that this is being discussed in public, it's coming back for a May meeting, rebates are being discussed, and the cost of cleaning clothes is being discussed. If there's something we can get out there as a blast, we can work with county staff to do that in the interim. so it can happen before the next meeting.
Okay.
Because the flyers and the mailers to the doorstep have been, I think, widely appreciated out there, and it could be something simple and quick. Perhaps we can work with county staff
sure.
to accomplish that.
Sure, and again, we're happy. You know, we've done a substantial amount of outreach on septic repurposing. As you know, the brochure, the town halls, you know, we've had literally thousands of people through. We have also, last I heard, undertaken a specific person-to-person contact with each of the contractors on the list to inform them of our desire to see more tanks repurposed. So, if it is the pleasure of this committee that some kind of reminder of septic tank repurposing be set within the phased, within each phase of the project, we certainly can provide the mailing list and potentially within the budget of the wastewater project provide some support for getting a postcard out to remind folks of that if it's the desire of the committee. That's an easy thing to do.
You can do that. I know there's a motion and a second on the floor, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. And do we agree on that? Does everybody confirm on that? Motion, right?
Yes.
Yeah. If roll call vote. Motion maker was Garfinkels, Director Garfinkel.
Yes.
Director Sesania.
Yes.
Director Gibson.
Yes.
And Vice Chair Zimmer.
Yes.
I think staff has enough direction to get something in hands quickly.
Okay.
And to move this forward.
And then the next thing, could we bring back the video? It seems like there is a big push to do that and bring that back on our next agenda and itemize that and take a second look at that.
Absolutely.
And look at one of the things we'd want to look at is the cost of that. I know we went back and forth in. You know, one of the concerns that was brought up, are we limiting the amount of people by whether or not they have access to the cable channel versus the audio that also other people have access to? But are we limiting more people by accessing it through video or not? That was one of the big questions. And some people have strong opinions on that, whether it is or isn't. And can we look at, is there some way to identify that, given a better perspective of whether that's true or not?
Staff will certainly bring that back, and all meetings, the audio will always be posted, regardless.
If I might, I think AGP both streams over your computer and throws through Charter the meetings. They will both stream for the people that want to watch on the computer. And you can watch through your television if you have Charter television.
So if we could analyze that,
sure.
All that and get a clear direction on what takes place, video versus audio.
We'll confirm with AGP those capabilities and bring that back as an agenda item. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. And do we need a motion to put that onto the agenda?
I think staff has enough direction.
Okay.
So, Mr. Chairman, if I might, if you can hold your quorum and would excuse me, my alternate is also double booked this afternoon, and with your kind permission, I will, if we finish this item, which it seems we have, I'll absent myself at this point.
Okay. Thank
we'll
you.
See you next month.
Okay. Thank you. At this point, I believe we're finished at this point and ready to...
Oh, public comment.
Oh, public comment. Yeah. I'm sorry. Okay, thank you. Okay, I'll open the floor to public comment.
Lindy Owen, I do appreciate Mr. Garfinkel's realization that more education could never hurt in this community. DVDs at the library and from each purveyor are another option. They're inexpensive, and if people really want to catch up on something, they could look at a DVD. I object to the entire idea that my prohibition zone and my community are paying $5 million of conservation funds, and Mr. Gibson wants to take it out and use it countywide. That water that we are paying to treat is water that comes back to us, and we're cleaning up the basin. The private well owners are doing nothing to clean up the basin. So I object completely to his assumption that he can go ahead and divert $2.4 million towards other programs down the road. I would like that money to be put into setting up the filling stations. There should be three of them. It should be a convenient thing. We're going to live with this drought forever. If you haven't heard the reports, we are never going back to where we were a year ago or 5 years ago. It's over. California has pulled every last bit of water out. The rain that comes down just wets the earth. It's not filling lakes because we have so much sun and heat, it's evaporating it. So we're in a new cycle now, and the sooner that we begin to use this recycled water into our own tanks, and again, the upper aquifer wells, you're talking about the new 18th Street well, I think, is possibly going to have a fill station. 10th Street is a tiny little place. We need to think through what it would take to get a truck delivery that's efficient. I would like to see electric vehicles used. It's going to be a permanent way of life, just like, Arrow Water, whatever the different water, Crystal Springs comes to your house and brings you clean water in bottles. We're going to have to get used to that idea. The infrastructure, and I don't think Mr. Gibson needs to worry about what I do with how I pay for getting my tank saved, but we do need those fill stations. That's where that $2.4 million goes, because I can use that water from my tank to actually flush my toilets. I'm using drinking water to flush my toilets. We can't do that. So I urge that this $2.4 million, and again, the people that are not paying a penny for any of the treatment of this water, as much as they use a septic tank and pollute into it the same as we always did, they should have meters on their wells, and I don't think they should pay for them. I think part of that $2.4 million should set up a system. All we need to know is how much they're using and to alert them to try to not use as much. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Lindsay.
Keith Weimer, Sierra Club, Los Osos Sustainability Group, and a homeowner. I wanted to address a few of the things that were said. First, I want to bring up the point that one of the funding sources was the current funding that's being used for the Wastewater Project Conservation Program and the potential for shifting that over to use for these rebates. One of the issues that I hoped you would discuss is whether the county should request an amendment to the CDP. I don't happen to think it's necessary to use that money for that purpose, but at least that should have been discussed as an option, because that is the quickest way to get the funding you need to provide these rebates. To use this $10,000 is not going to go very far. Besides that point, the county is responsible for the repurposing program and for deriving as many benefits from that program as possible. I disagree with Supervisor Gibson that the outreach program has been as effective as it can be or should be. We requested postcards, I don't know when, a few weeks ago. I'm glad to hear that those may be going out using some of the money from the wastewater project. I wanted to point out that the county hasn't done a lot to promote repurposing, because the permits that Supervisor Gibson mentioned, when you consider that they are part of that electronic permit process, I don't really believe the county does much. Basically, it's up to the contractor to fill a tank with water, to disinfect it, and then to report back that it's met the requirement. Where's the cost to the county in that step of the permitting? I don't know that we're saving much there. And I want to address just the idea of spreading the cost of the wastewater project conservation money basin-wide. The wastewater project area is 90% of the community. If you spread the cost of a conservation program basin-wide, you may save people, 10% on their assessment. The county right now is responsible for $5 million going towards a conservation program to maximize conservation for 90% of the community. There's a lot of that program that has not been implemented. A lot of the targets were not met and so forth. I just want to reiterate, just be quick here, that the best way to have a 218 pass is to have a very strong conservation program. And it is the best way if the county expects to have an assessment to offset some of the wastewater project costs. And so that needs to be implemented right now.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, regarding the design of the door hangers, the artwork and design of postcards, the time element doesn't work. People are already all over the streets in phase one installing and hooking up their laterals. We can't wait 90 days to get postcards and door hangers out there. We have people in the community that are quite capable of setting up a committee and doing this work and having them out in just a couple of weeks. I did marketing and sales for years. That's what I did. And it doesn't take 6 months to do a project like that. And it doesn't cost a ton of money to do that. We just need to get to the people and the contractors and the list of people that are getting the funds to cover the cost. But we need your cooperation in helping us to do that, to get reuse of our septic tanks. We just got this week a new list of the contractors and different people that the county has provided. 8 pages. Before we had 3 pages. Now there's 8 pages. And a lot of them aren't even qualified to do this work, but the county has put them on the list. And they're the ones that if they put in slurry or sand, they make a lot more money. A lot of them are not even from our community. They don't care about the water conservation or the water reuse or any of this. They want to make money. And they're going to tell the people that you can't save your septic tank. You have to do this. They're not cooperating. So it's up to us to educate them on what they can and can't do. And it's cheaper to have a reuse program of the septic tank than it is to fill it full of sand and to fill it full of slurry. We don't want that. Plus, for resale of your property, it's going to make a difference on the value of your property having a big chunk of concrete in the middle of your yard. So these are things we need to address. I would like to head a committee. I would like to put together a program. And I would like to work with the community and educate them on what's possible. And I would like for you to give me a copy of that entire program you presented today. Can you do that? Thank you.
Thank you.
Carolyn Atkinson. I'd like something to take to LOCAC next Thursday, just a little something to read. Or, you know, handout. The other thing is, I went to many presentations from SLO Greenville and the county on the reuse and that kind of thing. And the county did provide a lot of opportunities for people to find out about this. So it wasn't like it was in a vacuum. Anyway, but if I could get something we could hand out, that would be great.
Thank you.
Richard Margetson, thank you, Bill, for the opening the discussion about videotaping the meetings. I think when you get the analysis and find out about the streaming opportunities with AGP, I think you're going to hit way more people between Charter connections and streaming on your computer than you ever will with the audio recording. I also recommend that when you develop this door hanger or flyer or mailer or whatever it is, the bottom of all of this information, these meetings and how to get them should be at the bottom of everything, whether it's dealing with the conservation or not. You need that buildup to that 218. The more information you give this community, the better off you're going to be, because water rates are going up. Conservation's great, and it's been said a couple of times, but water rates go up because of conservation, consumption going down. It's a never-ending cycle. And then the community also picking up, you know, rebates are great. You know, Golden State offers rebates, but those are coming from rates and charges. It's customers paying in a roundabout way for the rebate. It'll be interesting to see what happens at the next meeting. I think you probably have the votes to get it done, but I think it's absolutely necessary in this community. The other thing I just wanted to touch on for a minute is the county program and the county money. I think it'd be advisable for the committee members to actually pull up that document, the Water Recycling and Conservation Program, and look at it again and look at what is required in the outlying years. That was a condition that the county had to meet in order to start the project. They had to get the water conservation program underway, which was the toilets, aerators, and showerheads. But there's many other things in there that are a requirement that got the approval of the Coastal Commission. That plan had to be submitted to the Coastal Commission for its approval. They approved that plan. For Mr. Gibson now to say, sorry, we're not going to complete the 10-year plan, we're going to take that money and move it somewhere else, and he talks about the saving on the assessment. That savings, and this is verified by county staff, will result, let me just finish, $2 per month savings on the set-aside for the wastewater project. So if it's at 165 now, it'll go to 163.
Thank you. Any other comment? Okay, seeing none, we'll close the public comment for items not on the agenda. Do we have a response to public comment?
Just briefly, Mr. Chair, I'll provide perhaps some business cards here if folks want an electronic copy. In fact, we'll post it to the website, the PowerPoint, so everybody can have a copy of what was presented today. Also, the flyer that we're proposing to get out should be within a very short amount of time, not months, days, hopefully in a week or two.
Okay. Thank you. Any other comments? Seeing none? Okay.
I have one other. Okay. Everybody's gone now, but my comment is kind of sorrow. When we did the technical advisory committee, in every plan that we looked at for the wastewater facility, there was a pump station in the facility to take septic from the from septic tanks. And I was under the impression, and maybe I just didn't go far enough, but sometime after that, the TAC was closed, a decision or things came up, but what brought it to mind was when they did my tank, and Al's pumping, which does most of the pumping in our community, said they're taking it down to Santa Maria, and I thought, wow, why would we take it to Santa Maria when we have our wastewater plant here now? Because if you take it to Santa Maria, we're actually losing that water. It's not going to go into our aquifer. And plus, each of us in the bid that we got for our tanks are paying for a truck to go from Los Osos to Santa Maria and back. And it wasn't until this week that I found out the reason, and that's our plant can't take that amount of septic. So it's kind of sad that when we knew this was going to happen, that we didn't take into account getting that septic, because I think you said that's about 7 acre-feet of water that we've actually thrown away from the aquifer. We'll never see it again.
Thank you, Bill. Any other comments?
No. Next meeting, the 18th, is that right?
The 18th.
I think May 18th?
Third Wednesday.
That would be the 18th.
Yep, that is the 18th. Okay, with that, meeting's adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.